The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Trinity is from Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he came and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins." You may be seated. The Old Testament reading today from the prophet Micah gives some insight into the mind and work of God. Hear again what the Lord said through the prophet. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love." And you know, you hear those words, and we hear those words every third Sunday after Trinity each year, and it's always quite something, isn't it? You think about who God is. You think about what he does, and here he tells us even what he delights in. And it's comforting. God's desire, what he takes delight in, is the forgiveness of sins. And it's not just some abstract thing, but it's your forgiveness. Now keep that in mind then, as then we jump forward to the time as Jesus is walking around in the gospel reading from Luke chapter 15. Here he is walking among his people, and Luke, by divine inspiration, gives us this account. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Now the Greek grammar here shows that this is something that Jesus was doing on a regular basis. He's continually doing this. It's not a one-time thing. He did this once, but he's doing this. And so they're grumbling. So why are they upset? We hear grumbling in the scriptures. We hear it in the Old Testament as the people are wandering. We even hear the disciples at times grumbling. So they're grumbling. And what is the great offense that they are upset about? They are upset that Jesus shows mercy and compassion. Now let that sink in for a second. They're upset with Jesus because he came to work repentance and forgive. But remember something? Remember, what did God tell you about himself in that reading from Micah? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. So Jesus was around sinners and he sat down to eat with them. Now this doesn't mean he approved of sin, but rather he came to redeem sinners. Nowhere does it say that Jesus affirms or tolerates sin, but that's often what our sinful mind wants to go to when we see that Jesus is eating with sinners or that he's around them. Because our sinful hearts in the world and even the devil want us to go along that line of thinking. But Jesus never approves of sin. That would be self-defeating. It would not only defeat the purpose for which he came to redeem his people, but would make him a liar when he does call people to repentance and to turn from their sin. Because sin is a problem. It's a real deadly problem. And it's a condition that rightly stands under God's wrath and punishment. And Jesus himself said earlier in Luke 5, in fact, to the Pharisees, who said something almost identical to the statement that we have here 10 chapters later in Luke 15. In Luke 15, we hear, "And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus answered them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" And so Jesus associates with sinners to call them to repentance because he came to save them. When he associated with sinners, he taught them, he preached to them, he forgave them. And so here in this instance of Luke 15, there are two groups then who have drawn near at the beginning of this chapter. They are the tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees and scribes. But these two groups are very different from one another, and yet they're still in the same situation on their own. Now we could broaden this and to be understood in two ways. Those first group, the tax collectors and sinners, are those who break all the commandments. They're sinners. And the second group are those who outwardly, at least, appear to follow the commandments and are sinners. But both groups are sinners, even though they may act differently in an outward way. But Jesus is preaching to both groups, just as he preaches to you this way, no matter who you may be, with the same purpose. Jesus has come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So then this whole chapter of Luke 15 is really the Christian faith. It's about repentance, and it's about our Lord who came to seek and save the lost. It's the very chief thing for which the Christian church exists. And this is that you are included in this as well. God has sought you out. He has redeemed you. So the fact that Jesus does call sinners to repentance is in no way in opposition to what Micah says about the compassion of God. These two things are not pit against each other. And so what Jesus does is he shows you what it is to repent. He shows you what it is of who he is who has come after you. And so when you see Jesus doing his work, preaching these things, proclaiming to us who our God is, it's offensive if in our hearts that we have, it becomes offensive if we have no place in our heart for someone who has sinned and has the forgiveness of Christ. The gospel is a stumbling block apart from faith. Our sinful hearts and our sinful minds work apart from faith in terms of merit, in terms of vengeance, in terms of self-righteousness. So the fact that God would, in fact, seek out the lost, show compassion to sinners, it's unthinkable to the sinful heart and mind. And it's also true to think that sin has no consequences and that no payment must be made It's also true that that's an error as well. And this is where Jesus is the one who steps in, and there he is the sacrifice for your sin. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one who knows very well how sin is deadly, who knows that we need redemption. And so God has compassion, and God calls you to repentance. Both statements are true, as we see in Luke 15. And so Jesus then answered the grumbling of the Pharisees and scribes. But how did he do this? Well, he did it with these three parables in Luke 15. Or really, we could, in a sense, say it's one big parable to teach them about who their God is and who they are as sinners who Jesus has come to redeem. And he also rebukes them, showing them in their self-righteousness that how they are to view one another. And so Jesus then starts off saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And so Jesus then lays before them and you that God cares for his people. He goes after those who have gone astray. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to save you. And he's still going after those outside of his flock. He sends out his word to accomplish his purpose of working repentance and faith. The Holy Spirit, through the word of God, converts people. God's law reveals their sin and kills. And the gospel creates faith and delivers Christ and his forgiveness, life, and salvation. And this is all the work of God, shepherding his people fully and completely, even as he uses human instruments such as missionaries, pastors, and every Christian in his vocation to speak the words of God and to confess Christ to the world. Luke 14, the previous chapter, ends with Jesus saying, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So God calls all of us, pastors, hearers alike, to hear and confess his word, to be salt of the earth that has not lost its saltiness. And a fascinating detail included in this parable about the lost sheep is expanded upon in the second parable about the lost coin. Again, Jesus said, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The devil wants to devour you. He wants to tear you down and bring you away from God. And so in faith, throwing up our hands, putting up our feet, becoming indifferent or impatient to our sin, the devil doesn't matter. He wants to wear us out so that we either renounce our faith or finally just turn away from God completely. And so we see, though, the desire of God. We see his compassion. We see his word. And we see the struggle in our life. It's very personal. Our sin is something that we struggle with throughout our whole life. Likewise, the sin of others against you and how you deal with it is real too, as is the sin of those whom you love, and you see them heading down the path to hell. So both groups in this reading from Luke were called to repentance and a circumcision of the heart. They needed what only the Lord works and gives. They needed the shepherd to seek them out with the same zeal of the woman turning her home upside down, trying to find the lost coins. They needed salvation found only in Christ. And you need this too. So each and every day, examine your life. See what God demands of you and requires of you in his word. See how God instructs you to live your life where you are in the church, in your family, and in society. Examine your life and repent where you have failed. Repent where you have been negligent and been lazy. Repent of any indifference or cowardly way that has caused you to avoid what God says to you and confess the faith faithfully. Repent of those times when you have failed to show compassion and mercy to those who have sinned against you. Repent and cry out to God for mercy. Because you see who your God is. Micah was right. Jesus laid aside his glory, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father and his law, suffered on the cross, died and was buried, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. This was and who he is for you, your Lord who delights in showing you steadfast love. And now because of this, God looks at you and he says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need righteous persons who need no repentance. You are found in Jesus. He has sought you. He has brought you into eternal life. And so God rejoices in what was lost being found. God rejoices in the dead being made alive. And God delights in your salvation and in the salvation of the whole world. And he has gone to great lengths in order to bring you to himself and called you his own. And there is joy in this, because there's great joy in these words that God says to you today. Your Lord says your sin is forgiven. You have eternal life. And he finds great delight in that. And there's also great joy that you have as the people of God when the gospel is preached and sinners turn from their sins. There's great joy when someone who was lost is found by Christ. There's great joy when you see a baby baptized or an adult baptized and his sins are washed away. There's great joy when you confess your sin here and the pastor speaks to you those words of absolution. There's great joy when you kneel at this rail with those who confess the same faith you do, and you receive the body and blood of Christ for your forgiveness, life, and salvation. This is the fellowship. This is the communion you have as the body of Christ, the church. And all this salvation of Christ is given out in this place, and it spills out into your daily lives as husbands, as wives, as fathers, as mothers, as grandparents, siblings, friends, and whatever your station in life may be. We think about this too on Father's Day with the prodigal son, the father who welcomes his son back, embraces him, forgives him. And this is the boldness too, to speak the truth in love and the compassion to forgive each other's sins as you are forgiven. The compassion of God is the compassion of the father in the prodigal son, and the same compassion is lived in your lives as his own sons and daughters. So who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. What comforting words to hear this morning. These are more than mere words. This is who your God is. And this is how he treats you in Christ. This is what you have in Jesus. God's righteous anger towards you is satisfied in Christ. Your sins are cast into the depths of the sea by him who commands the wind and the waves, and they obey him. So who is a God like this? There is none other. There is none other except him, the Lord, and there is none other than your God, your Savior, Jesus Christ. So rejoice in your Lord, for your God, the saints and his angels are rejoicing with you, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.